You're listening to This Week in UX for January 31st, 2010. And welcome to This Week in UX. I am your host, Joseph Dickerson, and in this episode, we're going to talk about the obvious topic of the week, which is the iPad announcement on Wednesday, as well as give a sneak preview to Interaction 10, which is going to take place this week in this coming week in Savannah, Georgia, as well as talk a little bit about the Nexus One Google phone. But first, the obvious and most interesting topic, at least to me, as a user interface designer and a user experience architect, the iPad. Well, if you're a tech geek like me, you're probably glued to your computer screens and clicking refresh every 30 minutes this previous Wednesday afternoon as Steve Jobs and Apple unveiled the tablet computer, the iPad. A lot of people were pretty impressed at the time as they were announcing the device, and then very quickly, an internet backlash started. A lot of people were complaining about it's just a big iPod Touch. The name sounds like a feminine hygiene product. It doesn't have a camera. It doesn't do multitasking, etc. Now, I don't disagree with many of these commentaries, especially the ones around the product name. I think the product name could have been, it could have been better, let's be frank. But in the end, I think most of the criticism are trivialities because what I think the iPad is quite frankly, a game changer for many reasons. And here's a couple of my thoughts on the product itself. One of the main things that I think will make the iPad a success is it does what they say it does. It's a very simple device, but it's also a very elegant device for doing what a lot of people use netbooks to do. Browse the web, check email, and do casual gaming. Now, the one thing that I think that the iPad does extremely well is it gets out of the way. The best description of this came from Leo Laporte, the head twit, shortly after the announcement, where he said it's an internet appliance, it's a computing appliance, it is a almost a ubiquitous computing device, which is just kind of elegant and simple, and it lets people do things. The reason why it doesn't have stuff like a front-facing camera and multitasking is because it's a very focused device that takes advantage of all of the real estate that the screen allows. And I think the screen size is the real big key to this. One of the problems that I have had in the past with the iPod Touch and the iPhone is, you know, it is a very useful device, and I love it in a lot of different ways for all that it brings to me every day. I can't imagine living without a smartphone now, but the screen size is a hindrance, especially for people who are entering middle age. The visual acuity of users starts to obviously go down. It's a natural part of growing old, and the iPod and the iPhone just doesn't have the ability to have larger type. And the fact that the iPad has not only a larger screen, but the ability to scale the text in apps such as the ebook reader is, I think, a huge win for older users, which I think is not necessarily the target market for the iPad, but it wouldn't be surprising to see them marketing this not just towards the technologically literate, but also towards middle America and those people in their middle ages who are successful financially and have spare income to be able to buy such a device. But again, I'm maybe reading a little bit too much into the future product vision of the iPad. Let's talk about the experience. One of the things that was a key announcement that Steve Jobs said directly at the end of the presentation was that they could not have released this device 2 years ago. And the reason why is fairly simple. People did not know the interaction model 2 years ago that the iPad uses. And that interaction model, of course, is the one that's used by the iPhone and the iPod Touch. Effectively, they used those two devices to get people used to the idea of the multi-touch interface. And so people can effectively pick up the iPad, and if they have had any exposure to the iPod Touch or the iPhone, they can basically start using it. And I think that is a very, very brilliant thing. Apple is very smart about not releasing technology before its time. And I think Apple realized there's the human factors aspect to this, where you have to release a device that will not frustrate users. So they put out two devices that allow users to basically learn how to use this interaction model, and then the market is ready for a larger scale device that uses the same UI, or at least a similar UI. So I think that was a very keen insight, and I wish more companies in America would realize that there is a learning curve to new designs instead of throwing out cutting-edge technology that people are effectively afraid of in their initial exposure. One other interesting thing about the interaction model is I love the way that they have designed the base model when they rewrote all of their iPhone apps, such as Mail or Video, so that you have, in landscape mode, a different view of the application than you do in portrait. They basically take advantage of that 4:3 aspect ratio to, for example, in Mail, have a list of the Mail messages on the left and then the primary message you're looking at on the right. So that's a very intelligent use of the screen space. And I especially like the way they hide that extra kind of primary content list when you go from landscape to portrait. Pretty elegant stuff. And I'm very excited about the ability that this device provides for me myself and the opportunity for me to design some really interesting UIs in the domain that I work in. I think that the UI that they presented is pretty consistent, which is also important, and I think it's a fairly learnable interaction model. And I think that the design is just really slick and really polished, and you can tell that this is kind of not a really even a first-generation device. It's a second and a third-generation device because it's leveraging the learnings from the smaller touch devices that I mentioned earlier. In the end, will it be successful? I think so. I think that what Apple does very, very well is generate desire. It basically fills a niche and makes people want their devices. And yes, there's a lot of criticism on the net about what it does not do, but that tends to focus on the negative. I think once people go into the stores to browse and pick up this device, a lot of people are going to take one or more home. And one last thought on the iPad. The thing that it reminded me most about was effectively a Microsoft product. Microsoft Surface featured some very interesting ideas and technology that allowed you to play with information on a tabletop UI. Now that we have a similar type of technology and interaction in a portable magazine-sized device, the limits and limitations of Surface becomes all the more apparent, because now you can do a lot with a very little, and the price point being $500 for the base unit definitely makes this thing extremely accessible for a large number of Americans. And yes, I know we are in a recession, but keep in mind that there is still a lot of disposable income out there. And in a recession, what I found is people tend to buy quality in a lot of instances because they pay the extra if they have limited funds to get something better. And I think that the iPad definitely looks like a quality device. So if you're a UX or UI designer, you know, how do you react to this? I think you need to start looking into designing for it. You need to future-proof yourself and get ready. And knowing how the design apps on the iPad, I think, will be a very desirable skill in the years to come. Now on to Interaction 10. Interaction 10 will take place February 4th through the 7th in Savannah, Georgia. And unfortunately, I will be out of the country at the time. Very unfortunately, since I'm only about 4 hours away from Savannah in my home just north of Atlanta. It looks like a really top-notch conference. A lot of really interesting speakers, a lot of interesting interaction workshops, some great sponsors. I know the company Axure, which is one of my personal favorite companies in the interaction design space, is going to be there. And it looks just fantastic. Unfortunately, Interaction 10 is sold out. So if you are listening to this, there is unfortunately no way you can attend. But for those individuals who are listening to this, who will be attending, I hope you'll have a great deal of fun and learn a lot in the time you're down in Savannah. And please take in some of the local sights and scenery. It's a gorgeous city, And it's definitely something that I wish I was there. Some quick notes on the Nexus One phone released earlier this year. The Nexus One phone is actually Google's own Android phone that they have actually manufactured. They actually contacted, I believe, HTC to build a unit to their specifications. And it's a somewhat pricey smartphone. It's about $500. But but what I understand from it, and what I think is one of the key things to the next generation of smartphones, is it has a beautiful OLED screen. It's quite crisp and sharp compared to the iPhone, which is not OLED. And I think that one of the things we're going to see in the next generation of iPhone and in the next generation of other smart devices is this very high quality, very dense, very, very beautiful screen that I think is going to make the next generation of smartphones even more desirable for people who have not actually picked up on the technology. When it comes to the actual interface proper, it's really not that much different from the base Android OS. And there's some people that I've read online were expressing a little bit of disappointment in that. But I'll tell you, based on my exposure and use, the base Android OS for smartphones is pretty darn good, especially for those touch devices. The problem I think that is facing Google and the Android phone OS is the fact that there's multiple devices out there with multiple interaction models. You've got devices that have the small keyboard on the bottom. You have devices that flip out with a keyboard. And so, you know, you have to support multiple devices and multiple configurations, which is a challenge and also a challenge for consumers. One of the benefits that, again, Apple brings to the table is the iPhone is the iPhone. Pretty much the only difference is the capacity of the phone and the processor, the difference between the 3G and the 3GS. So, you know, it's not a really challenging decision for the consumer. They can either get the cheaper iPhone or the faster iPhone. They can either get the iPhone with the, you know, larger capacity or the iPhone with the smaller flash memory space. So, you know, it's a pretty simple decision point. When it comes to the Android phone, hopefully Nexus One is their first step into a real clean and competitive device. I don't think it's an iPhone killer. I don't think any device is an iPhone killer except for the one that Apple will eventually release in the next 2 years that is going to be the next generation iPhone. What I really find interesting about the Android OS is the fact that it is open source and it does not have the limitations that the iPhone App Store has. And I think that is a real key differentiator. And I don't know if the Droid Does campaign is working its magic on me, but I do know that there's definitely kind of opportunity space to kind of hit Apple in this particular area. Now, does the average consumer really care about that? I don't think so. I think that's much more of a tech type of thing where open source is something that people talk about every day. I don't think Joe Sixpack is really concerned about whether it's open or closed. They just want a device that works. So in that, I think Nexus One is a pretty nice device, and it does work fairly well. But I think the challenge is to get it in enough hands so that you have that exposure that the iPhone got. Because the iPhone, I think, it was successful just by the fact that everyone saw it all around them, and it became, once again, that object of desire. And that's going to be a real challenge for any company to do in any product, even Apple, to be honest. So in closing, if you have a chance to play with the Nexus One phone, definitely do so. It's got some very interesting technology. It's a very, very well-designed piece of computer hardware. And finally, I hope it does well because competition in the marketplace helps all the consumers. It allows us to basically have better devices and better products from all the companies that are in the mobile space. And that's it for this episode of This Week in UX. As I mentioned earlier, I will be traveling on business this week, and there will probably not be a new podcast this coming Sunday, mostly because I will have just returned from said international travel, and also it is Super Bowl Sunday, so I will be watching the big game, even though my favorite quarterback, Brett Favre, will not be in said game. I'd like to thank all of our subscribers through iTunes, and I'd like to also say if you're interested in more of the stuff I'm talking about, check out my personal blog at josephdickerson.com, as well as the This Week in UX website at thisweekinux.com. Again, thanks for listening, and have a great week.